Hillary Clinton and the FBI. That's our topic in this first portion of Vocal Point today. I'm Jerry Newcomb, and our guest right now is Dr. Paul Kanger, a professor at Grove City College, visionandvalues.org, for more information. And he's the author of many books, including Takedown, which traces the Marxist roots of the breakdown of the family, which has been totally devastating to society by any measure. Paul, welcome back to the program.
Hey, thanks, Jerry. Good to be back.
Sure. And I should also mention a book that's probably out of print by now, but God and Hillary Clinton. I mean, you spent a lot of time working on Hillary Clinton, as a biographer, and the spiritual aspect of her life, which is sort of an oxymoron to me. But comment on that.
Yeah, no, that's right. That was a book that came out about 10 years ago now.
Wow.
And it was 300-some pages. And in fact, when Donald Trump, a couple of weeks ago in New York City, talking to the group of the evangelicals, as he called them, when he said that we know virtually nothing about Hillary Clinton's faith, no one has ever looked into it. Well, he clearly didn't read my book. She's a lifelong committed Methodist. She called herself an old-fashioned traditional Methodist. A lot of old-fashioned traditional Methodists listening would dispute that. I don't know how many old-fashioned traditional Methodists are redefining marriage and pushing the LGBTQ agenda and referring to the quote-unquote right to an abortion as one of the most important rights to women. But that's how Hillary always fancied herself, and she's a classic kind of religious left, social justice, liberal Methodist who, the areas where she disagrees with her church, she just sort of pushes those aside. But, I spent a lot of time researching Hillary Clinton over the years.
That's so interesting. I mean, when you think about abortion and a Christian, it's hard for me to wrap my mind around the idea of a true Christian who really believes in Jesus Christ, that Jesus died for our sins, that he's the Son of God, that he rose from the dead, he's ascended into heaven, he's seated at the right hand of the Father, and one day he's going to come back and judge everybody, the living and the dead. And if you really believe that, and then you wantonly approve of unborn babies made in the image of God to be destroyed through abortion. I mean, I can understand the hard cases. I don't agree with them, but I could still understand them. But still, I mean, let's face it, abortion today is really, 98% all about money.
Right, right. Well, and look, and on this, I let me go back to the United Methodist Church and not let them so easily off the hook. There's a group called the Religious Coalition for Reproductive Choice. And you know about this group. I think we've talked about it before. And it's made up of liberal Christians in certain denominations that believe basically that Jesus would support their position on abortion. And the number of there's a number of mainstream denominations that are in that group. The Episcopal Church is part of that group. The United Church of Christ, which was Obama's denomination, I think Obama now is denominationless. The Presbyterian Church USA, PCUSA, which has just become a train wreck on these cultural moral issues, is a member. And the United Methodist Church, Jerry, was a member of the Religious Coalition for Reproductive Choice until, and this is very important, they meet every 4 years. They have their major assembly, and they met again in April, and praise be to God, they voted, not by the hugest margin, but they voted to withdraw from the Religious Coalition for Reproductive Choice, and which pushed them back towards more closely of a pro-life stand. And that, frankly, is something that should be in the news right now for Hillary faith-wise. People that follow this stuff should be going to her and saying, listen, you've been so proud to be a member of the United Methodist Church, and part of the reason is that you've liked their sort of abortion liberalism. Well, they just voted to withdraw from the Religious Coalition for Reproductive Choice.
Interesting.
And you're still fanatical on the abortion issue. So how do you square your politics, Mrs. Clinton, with what your denomination just did? And no one has asked her about this. So she's gotten completely off the hook on that.
And speaking of getting off the hook, and Hillary Clinton, but I repeat myself, let's talk about the FBI.
Wow. Well, that remarkable, right? Absolutely remarkable. And I think that James Comey did a good job with this. The investigation, I totally respect what the FBI did, the conclusions that they came to. I think the language that Comey used was very strong and also very appropriate. He basically said that she was careless. This is my word, I think not his, reckless. She was very irresponsible. She was very negligent. He didn't use this word, of course, but I would argue almost criminally negligent. She was, really what this showed was her really, really bad judgment. I mean, if you're in that position and you can't know that what you're doing is so, such a major breach of classified information, of protocol on these things, then it really does question your judgment as commander-in-chief, as president, potentially. Now, I think where Comey, Jerry, really went wrong is that I don't think he should have come out and even weighed in on the subject.
Of her intent?
That, Well, and it's saying, too, that no reasonable prosecutor would take up this case. That's really not his to say. He doesn't even need to go into that. That's kind of editorializing. I agree with Alan Dershowitz, the great Harvard lawyer and liberal, who said, that's not his place. You know, give us just the facts, ma'am, for the people who remember the old FBI, the old Dragnet series, right? You know, just the facts, just the facts. Just tell us what she did, and then it's up to others to decide whether or not they think it's reasonable to prosecute it. So I think he let her off the hook there. He shouldn't have done that. He should have just given us the facts. The facts that he gave us are very damning. And it's really the whole thing plays into Donald Trump's hands, because now, one, Trump can say that she was careless and irresponsible and negligent, and this does look poorly on her judgment. At the same time, Trump could do what he does best. He could say, the government is corrupt too, right?
Yeah,
the government isn't prosecuting her,
and that would
this
resonate.
Is criminal.
Yeah, that
right.
And I'm sure that would absolutely resonate. For those who've been in a cave for the last year or so, could you just recap the scandal in a few sentences?
Well, that's not easy to do. I don't know if I can in a few sentences.
Well, take several sentences.
several sentences. Look, she was basically very irresponsible and careless in her email communications, responding to information that was classified and extremely sensitive in a way as if she wasn't dealing with classified and sensitive information. And she said a number of times that she's completely innocent, that she wasn't dealing with classified information, that she wasn't dealing with sensitive information. And Comey has basically showed that, no, in fact, she was, over and over and over again. So, I mean, what she can argue and what she is arguing, and what Comey basically backed her on this, she's argued that she didn't intentionally know that what she was doing was wrong. And Comey has basically said, yes, she didn't intentionally know, and so thus it's not a crime. But she should have known. that's the point. So, I believe strongly, and people listening, even those who don't like Hillary, when you don't know that you're doing something wrong, that's an important thing in our justice system. We don't ever want to be thrown in jail for not knowing that we're doing something wrong.
Isn't there that old phrase, though? Remember the old phrase, ignorance is no excuse? And by the way,
ignorance is no excuse.
Isn't it true? And by the way, it's also true that perhaps all of us are guilty of something, you know, somewhere. There's some law. You know, I love the quote from G.K. Chesterton, where he said, if men will not be governed by the Ten Commandments, they will be governed by the 10,000 commandments. And we have many laws today, probably too many laws, but the gist of it is that she was having private emails. She was using her private service, email server, to deal with government, including classified emails. And I wonder if perhaps the real rub is that some of the emails she had dealt with her and her husband's Clinton Foundation, and there may be some sensitive information about that she didn't want the public to know. And so the private emails, you know, where she said, oh, this is just, you know, being a grandmother, and also, you know, emails about yoga classes or whatever. It's like, that just doesn't even pass the smell test.
It's
interesting.
It looks really fishy. Yeah, I mean, this is one of the reasons I don't do my own taxes. I hire an accountant to do my taxes. Because, I don't even know if I'm in violation of anything when I do my own taxes.
Yeah.
It's so enormously complicated. Here's one thing. If this wasn't Hillary Clinton, somebody else probably would be in jail for this.
Right.
And we know that people go to jail for far less. Our friend Dinesh D'Souza.
Yeah.
Right? Look at Dinesh.
Yeah, he went to jail. You're right.
The guy went to jail, and he has to check in like once a week and spend the night there for like the next 700 years because he made an extra campaign contribution to a friend, an old friend who was running for Congress in New York and lost by like 40 points. And they threw the book at him.
Yeah.
I mean, it's unbelievable.
You're right. The double standard. Yeah, and in fact, I remember the one headline that was circulating after the Hillary story, Hillary being vindicated by the FBI, or seemingly. The one headline, though, was "The Law is for Little People," showing a picture of Hillary, you know, kind of like contemptuously dealing with it. And didn't her... one of her technicians who helped her get set up and everything, he pleaded the Fifth, I believe 125 times or something like that.
Wow.
The Fifth Amendment, I refuse to answer because I don't want to incriminate myself.
Right. Smaller people, you know, little people would be in big trouble over this. And you know, she is able to get away with it. And one thing she's going to get away with too, I got really bad news for Republicans who want to use this against her. Speaking of Hillary's faith, she is on her knees praising God that her opponent right now is Donald Trump.
Wow.
And I know people are thinking, well, wait a second, Trump's going to hammer her over this. Trump can't do any better on this than call people liar, crooked Hillary, stupid, moron, idiot. His criticisms are reduced to name-calling and sound bites. Imagine right now if the Republican nominee was Ted Cruz, who is a brilliant lawyer and prosecutor.
Yeah.
Ted Cruz has a photographic memory. Mm. He literally memorized, at like the age of 10, the entirety of the U.S. Constitution.
That is amazing.
You get on a debate stage, Ted Cruz, like a prosecutor, could methodically, sentence after sentence, paragraph after paragraph, working from probably a photographic memory of a sheet of information, present before the entire country in a presidential debate stage what all she did wrong, where people in the middle would be like, oh, wow, this is really bad. Trump's just going to stand up there and go, crooked Hillary,
yeah.
Liar, cheater.
Yeah.
And Republicans are going to go, yeah. But Democrats are going to go, oh, this guy is so foul.
Wow.
And people in the middle are going to go, yeah, this guy is foul. He's just calling her names. You got the wrong guy to make the case. In other words,
well, bottom line is it's disheartening to think there's one standard for the elite ruling class and another for we the people. Paul, we're basically out of time. VisionandValues.org for more information. Again, Paul Kanger's great book that's out now called Takedown. You can Google it, Takedown, terrific book on the breakdown of the family, which was by design in the big picture of things. Thank you so much for being with us, Dr. Kanger. Always a pleasure.